Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Reality Realness with Three S's. I'm your host, Chantel Francis. Here with the most treacherous of traitors is my friend, Jonathan. How are you today, Jonathan?
Here's my poverty face. I'm going to start off each one of these with this.
Does she think that just makes her look like she's inquisitive? Like, what do you think the function is of this face that she does?
Well, they talked a lot about overacting and things like that in the episode, and I do people just assume she needs glasses, or like she's a little nearsighted, perhaps,
or maybe if she's always doing that, like they're just like, okay, she's just always making weird faces so that she can hide when she's actually making a weird face.
Yeah, yeah, it's like her headbands.
Her headbands are supposed to be making her look more demure and childlike and innocent. So yeah,
that's as long as she keeps wearing them, it's consistency. Keep doing those faces, Parf.
She has to, but like they're so obvious to me. I know they're also the cameras like zooming in on her face. But like, I'm just like, you guys are kind of obvious sometimes, you know? So sorry though, everybody, that we're here a little bit late. We decided to watch Postmortem, and last week's came on first, and then this week's came on right after. And so I should just watch this week, but we're up to date on Postmortem now. And then we've also watched the episode. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Pretty good, but I think the faithfuls are making a lot of mistakes and just, I mean, it's hard to know what they're really thinking because like, what are they showing us and what are they not showing us in the edit? But I don't know. I don't know about it.
You don't know if the traitors are at the faithfuls are doing well?
Yeah, it just seems to, I mean, well, they're not, but it just seems to me like they're not even, you know, because the reality of it is they could be having these thoughts that I will comment about later, but they're just, you know, the cameras aren't putting them in or the edit's not putting them in the episode because that's not what they're acting on. And they don't want to give away that, you know, whatever. But, you know, I liked the episode a lot. I liked the funeral. I have some comments about that as well. But yeah, it was good.
I definitely enjoyed it. Because it's just with all these people that I like and it's so dramatic, like I just was really taken on the journey of this episode. And okay, I have a question for you. Because some people were saying, even from the preview of this episode, how it was all based around a funeral. It's even called The Funeral, this episode. That is it too on the nose, considering that Dan's claim to fame is his funeral on Big Brother.
Right. And no. Only because, like, for us sitting at home really trying to dissect everything, it's like, well, and we know who the traitors are. But these people can't even get a traitor. So, in today's episode, they didn't bring that up at all. I don't think they will bring it up. I don't think it's not based on like someone saving themselves with this. It's just happens to be a funeral, which is, you know, not obscure, in any means. So yeah, I don't think it was a clue and I don't think anyone will
pick up on it. Not even Janelle.
Janelle's my queen, but like she's doing maybe the worst. I mean, it's like every time that it cuts to her, she's going off in a direction that's just so not it. And
well, the thing is, though, what happens, I think, in these things is when someone throws out an idea, you start to find any reasons that could make that idea be true, unless you know it's for sure incorrect. Like if it's about you and you could be like, no, that's not true. If it's about anybody else, you could be like, oh, wait, yeah, that could be true. And then you start making that make sense.
But that's like when they investigate, like an investigation, they always talk about, you know, even on TV shows or police officers, they talk about how you can't come to the solution first and then make the evidence fit the crime. You have to let the evidence speak for itself. And I agree with you. I think they're doing the opposite. They're not letting the evidence speak for itself.
But there's no evidence. That's the problem. Right.
But there's behavioral stuff. I mean, there's been some people thinking in the right direction, but it's for a split second and they don't go beyond that. But anyway, like, one of the first things in the episode, I don't know what you want to talk about first.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
But like they skimmed over the Deontay thing. I was like,
yeah,
what? Like, no one's even talking about that.
Well, okay, let's just start with the episode. So it's called The Funeral, as we know. And we kind of figure out who is going to be the one that is going to be drinking from this rusty damn chalice. And so we thought it was going to be Bernie. And other people were like, well, maybe it's going to be Janelle. And I'm like, no, Janelle has the shield, so it's not going to be Janelle. It's not going to be Peter. He has the shield, even though they kept on zooming in on him. So I was like, Bernie or Kevin. Like, that's Bergie, sorry. Or Kevin, that would be my pick as to who should be drinking from this chalice. Were you surprised that it was Ekansu?
Yeah, I don't even think I saw or remembered that she was in the room, but I had a feeling it was probably Bergie or, you know, she's panicking. So it could have been just anyone. She just wanted to get it done.
Well, and also, like, I get that she was panicking, but for anybody to be, like, Phaedra or even Dan to be like, why did you do Ekansu? It's like, she did anybody that she could in that moment before the clock struck midnight. Like, if Phaedra, if you wanted somebody else, you should have taken it into your own hands and do it yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So I was just a little bit frustrated with Phaedra, with her, like, being upset with the choice when she was like, well, I'm just going to leave it up to you guys. You guys can handle it. And then being kind of annoyed that, you know, with the person that she ended up choosing.
Right. Or give your list of like definite no's under any circumstances. Like, that's what I would have done. I'd be like, you can handle it. Sure. I mean, I would have done it, but you can handle it. Sure. But it's definitely can't be these people.
And how would you have done it?
I mean, I would have been, see, this is the hard part. You have to act like yourself. You have to be able to go within these different groups and socialize, and then having it come across as genuine behavior that they don't, and you don't know this at the time, but you're hoping they don't remember the next day. And this is a really interesting concept this time around, because we have someone who is still in the game and potentially could have been like, hey, if I die, this person gave me a drink, or this person acted weird towards me, or, you know, this person touched me on my shoulder. Like, I'm surprised they didn't have those moments where people were discussing more of like, if I die, these are maybe the things that happened last night. Like, it could be this or this person. And there was just none of that.
Well, maybe they just like moved them along too quickly for them to have those moments. Cause it's like, you know, pretty soon after, Alan comes in and is like, okay, get ready for the funeral. And then they're in the part of the procession. So maybe they just didn't have an opportunity, but yeah, I agree. Like, if at that breakfast, I'd be like, okay, who thinks that they've had something suspicious happen to them within the last 24 hours?
I mean, we did see them have some time, and they also needed time to come up with the little things that they were coming up with, like the Johnny Bananas, like based on who was actually murdered. Like, they would have had the night before and the morning to like come up with the what's happening within the procession. But so I feel like they had some time, but you're right. They probably like rushed them, so there wasn't too much talk about it. But I was just like, yeah.
How do you feel about how Parvati did it? So she kind of goes up to Ekansu, does a little cheers, gives her the chalice to cheers from. She's like, oh yeah, no, don't worry. Like, for you, like, have some. And she's like, I love you. And they're like, I thought it was pretty sketchy, but like, Ekansu found it to be normal, I guess, because they're good friends and they like each other.
I think she was like, cheers, and you don't have a glass, just have mine. But as long as you, I wouldn't have lingered there too much. You know, it's because then people should start looking at, well, who hung around Ekansu? Who was in the kitchen with us last night? You know, they can narrow it down. Like, I would be, you know, putting the
pieces
together.
Who was near Ekansu in the library with the chalice? Absolutely.
Yeah. And who wasn't doesn't necessarily make them not a traitor, but doesn't make them the traitor that would killed her. So, like, you know, and there were only a handful of people there, so you know it has to be one of them. And when you know it's, like, not Bergie, you know, people are pretty certain that it's not Kevin. It's just, it really narrows it down who it could have been. So I just don't know why we're not seeing more of people piecing it together. And that's the trick with traitors. It's like, they could come out afterwards and be like, well, we actually knew that it was probably Parvati, like, you know, after that round, but we didn't like confirm it till much later. You know what I mean? You don't actually know.
It might not be part of the storyline. Like, they might not pull those confessionals out at this point, because it's like, they don't want this show to be like everybody knew who the traitors were and, you know, ruin the entire season. So if they know and they're talking about it in their confessionals, they're not going to be airing those confessionals until it's going to be part of the storyline.
Yeah, until it. And now, speaking of the storyline, speaking of the funeral and everything that's happening in the morning and all of that, I just wish that they didn't tell us like they didn't the end of the last episode. I wish that they kept it secret even further. So yes, you wouldn't have had those cutaways of like Dan and poverty and all that stuff, but
they could have done it in a flashback and like black and white flashback or something like that. And like see her kill her. Because like when they all came into for breakfast, like it was first Dan and Phaedra, they were first. And Dan was like, I don't know who it is. Phaedra's like, I don't know who it is. And Phaedra's like, well, you know, Parvati's not really liked that much. I was like, oh my gosh, they don't really show that Parvati's not liked. And then Parv comes in next and she tells him that it's Phaedra. And Dan nor Phaedra, sorry, tells her that it's Ekansu. Dan nor Phaedra had any sort of idea that it was Ekansu. So they could have easily just, nobody knows but Parvati, and go through the whole thing and all of us.
Yeah, but they could have had Parvati come in last when, or just when there's regular people there and she doesn't have opportunity to tell them. And then when the person's being buried at the funeral, you know, that's a surprise to all of us who it is. You know what I mean? So, and they could have structured it where none of the traitors were the final three, or, you know, or have someone, a traitor as the final three potential deaths, but we don't know if it's one or the other. So, I mean, I just was wondering why they told us so much in advance. And they were like, I'm like, you could have kept the suspense for another 10 minutes or 15 minutes or so. So
agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I think they wanted to have the moment where she tells the other traitors, so then they were had to be acting.
Right.
So like, cause then if they're not acting, like they could just be naturally just being like, I have no idea who it is. Like they're going to be, they will know that they're not going to be murdered, but like they don't know who it is.
The perspective's from really the traitor side of it. So I understand them keeping us like in the know with what the traitors know. And it's very consistent, but I think it was a missed opportunity to even build up more suspension for us. Cause we're just like, oh yeah, they're throwing roses in there. They don't know what's it going to be like when they do know. But what if we were on the edge of our seats and we're like, who is it still? You know, it would have been so great. So
I agree that it was a bit of a missed opportunity. Just as Deontay leaving,
it was one line. He said one line. He's like, and after yesterday's events, Deontay has decided to leave. I'm like, what?
Loki's like, they skimmed so much I missed it. I was live tweeting with the bestie and she told me. Like I saw just his picture there and I was like, what? Like, what, when did that happen? I mean, we knew that he was having a hard time with the most recent murder when he was pretty much all in on Max, and then it wasn't Max. And so I think that he was too kind and too honest, and like it just wasn't the right environment for him.
I'm disappointed the producers couldn't talk him into it, you know, where you're like, I'm going. And they couldn't be like, pull out all the stops, be like, you're not a quitter, you're a 5-time winner. Like, you know, and just be like, get him to, or at the very least.
Allow him to get murdered?
Just have people talk about it. Like what they think, or just have like a, you know, 30 seconds of, you know, Alan coming in and being like, Deontay wasn't murdered, but he was, you know, he decided to leave because of, you know, whatever. And then speaking of murder, someone was poisoned. Like they could have incorporated a little bit more instead of skim over it. Like it didn't exist. Like he didn't exist. I was just like, that's weird.
So Danica's here saying that yes, Deontay leaving was a surprise. I also thought that they were supposed to get the other two on this episode from the preview last week. Dr. Will and Kate. Heard that Kate is coming in episode 5. So I think that's the next episode. And she's coming into the game, I believe. And Dr. Will is going to be a special guest. So I think he's going to be like a host of a challenge where, you know, he's asking people, you know, I don't know, maybe like one of those majority rules type challenges where, remember when they had them on like the board and they're spinning around on that thing?
Yeah.
Something like that, where they're asking questions about them. I think he's going to be hosting something like that.
Right.
So Bloody Money here is saying that they read an article regarding Dante Wilder exit. So what happened? Is he just couldn't hack it? Let us know if you know more, please. Please, please. Oh, so that makes sense. Dedica is guessing Kate will be taking Deontay's place. Okay. Numbers-wise, I guess.
Yeah. So that's next week. That's next episode, you said, right?
I believe so, yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Phaedra, though, when she's just like, Lord, not Ekansu. Lord, like, she's so dramatic. It's very fun. And in the aftermath, the postmortem, her lashes are freaking phenomenal. Like, her makeup's, like, but, like, she's just fanning herself. Because she voted for Ekansu the previous banishment. Now, do you think that Parvati slightly knew this? And was kind of like, you know what? I'm going to do something that's going to put Phaedra a little bit in the hot seat. Or was it just low-hanging fruit?
I don't, but I think she realized it shortly thereafter and like, probably doesn't care. She's like, great, that works out. But I don't think in the moment, in the rush of things, that it was necessarily a choice.
So Bergy and Janelle come in next. And Janelle's like, oh my God, all my favorite people are here. So she loves Dan and Parvati. And she absolutely loves Phaedra. And Phaedra is like her favorite person out of all the housewives. Yeah. She doesn't care about the other ones. But Phaedra, number one.
So we're going to see Janelle for a while, I feel like. Because they're never going to murder Janelle if they feel like, you know, she doesn't suspect any of them, right? So
absolutely. And or if she does, she's pretending like she
being a mom. So I mean, she'd be a banishment potentially, but I don't, but they will have her back if, you know, they're all her favorites. So I was like, oh no, Janelle.
But I mean, she's gonna need people to be able to get them out. But actually, that's something that could end up happening. Like, say the final three and Janelle, like, maybe she'd be able to get Dan to vote one of them out, you know what I mean? Like, vote out a traitor, and like she'll end up losing, but she'll think that Dan and her are like in it together, and then she'll get sliced by Dan or something like that.
Maybe.
Ooh. Danica says that Parv was so desperate to find someone to drink the cup, it probably hurts Parv more than the other two. Absolutely. People can definitely track back to like that damn rusty cup. I don't know. I would be noticing that cup. I don't know how anybody didn't notice. Like, I would not even to say like, what's that cup that you're drinking out of? That's so like,
I mean, you just know who you're in the room with, and like who was in the kitchen. You could probably ask other people and find out. So you have your suspect list right there. And again, there was what, seven people in that room, maybe perhaps. So
it was, Janelle, MJ on one side, Dan, Ekansu, Kevin,
Bergy,
Peter and Bergy, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly.
Poverty. So it's like, there you go. I would be going down that path. I'm like, you know, we're saying there's no evidence, but that's evidence. And I feel like in these rounds where it's like kill someone in plain sight rounds, it's the most, again, you know, we all know I've played traitors, but in an online game, it was the most vulnerable the traitors were, and it really did tell us when I was playing it who the traitor was. So you can narrow it down with this is probably the strongest evidence that they will get. So I want to see people talking about it.
I know, but they probably would hide it from us because they don't want us to know that they've solved the crime, you know, solved the puzzle so easily. I guess
I don't know if they have though. I don't know that they're actually talking about it.
So Danica wants to know how many housewives there are. I believe four. So there was Larsa, Phaedra, Sheree, Tamra. I think that's it. MJ, yes, is from Bravo, but she's from Shaw's. Is there anybody else from Bravo?
I
don't think so. I think that's it. That is it. So CT does see that the Bravo clique is still there. So CT's reads aren't great.
None of their reads are great.
But like CT's are quite bad.
Oh, I felt that way about Janelle.
I feel like with Janelle, like, yes, her reads are bad. I agree 100%. But I feel like when CT goes in on something, his evidence is not as at least even like it makes sense. Like he just is like going more about a hunch, and I'm like, his hunch is completely wrong.
Remind me what he was saying.
I don't remember when we get into my notes, but I just remember thinking like, CT, what? Why are you thinking that? Is it just retaliation? Because like
That's exactly how I felt Janelle the whole episode. I'm like, Janelle, stop playing emotionally. I'm like, just you know what I mean. I'm like, Janelle, because she'll go in for something, and I'm like, it's not it. And I want to hear more from Sandra. Like, I want to know what Sandra's inner thoughts really are.
Like, he's scolding me here. Not too much on CT, Chantel. Everyone is wrong except Larsa about Dan. That's true. I know. I just feel like I wanted CT to actually be the traitor hunter. And I feel that whatever he's latching onto, it hasn't been the right things. Like, I wish that he was latching onto the Dan thing, like latching onto more suspicious stuff.
And I mean, to be fair to everyone, it is difficult when someone says something about you to you for you to remove that completely, like emotionally. And a lot of these people have played very emotionally in their own reality shows. But, you know, even if you can, there's something that you hold on to there. And it's hard to kind of brush that aside and think super clearly without being biased in some way. So, and there's a lot of people coming for a lot of people. So it's not great reads from what we're seeing.
I want to be there with them to like guide them, but maybe I just have terrible reads myself.
It's hard. It was, again, the game that we played, it was like, we got a traitor out right away. And then for the next like 7 rounds, we didn't get one out. It was difficult. And I was
what
like,
about the, oh no, you're the mole. So that's different. Sorry, everyone. The one that you hosted, I was going to be like, how is the one that you hosted? But
Different game.
I do like think though the housewife clique, it would make sense that there would be at least one traitor out of 4. If there's 21 people, a few people have gone, like I would feel like a strong sense that there would be a housewife that's a traitor.
Well, that's their more accurate read. And it's something I said before it even started, like there's going to be one from that group. And that's what people have kind of been saying. And it's true. So, I mean, it's really the one thing other than Larsa calling out Dan that's been true.
So Lovable Nikki here is saying that Phaedra can really rally the troop more easily than Parvati. Y'all are sleeping on Phaedra. We shall see. Y'all fave is not ready. No, I think that Phaedra would win the war. I think it's because Danica here was suggesting that Phaedra should maybe tone it down with her threats to Parvati and Dan, but Phaedra can get a lot of people on her side.
At the end, when Phaedra was talking about skipping to the end for a quick second, when she was like, "What are you doing?" I would have been terrified of her. I would have been like,
"Nothing."
And she's like, "I'm being nice, but it's kind of like giving like the I don't have to be." And you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm willing to share this with you, but we don't need to play like that if you're going to even come, like, remotely come for me. So I'd have been like, Phaedra's a type where you need to, like, shoot to kill or don't touch it. You know what I mean? Like, don't, it's that kind of thing. And I always claim that of myself, but it's like, if you're coming for me, you need to get me or don't even come anywhere near me. And I feel like I would be, I'd love Phaedra. And so it's just, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Parvati thinks that she can handle it, but I think that Phaedra would come out on top. Like, I think Phaedra is playing nice.
She was eating Parvati just in, like, the looks at each other. I was like, Parvati, you're out of your depth. Like, you are not. Yeah, so we'll see. But anyway.
Well, and I also think that it must have been in Phaedra's contract to be a traitor. Because, like, it seems like she is enjoying this role and she was probably maybe preparing to be in this role. You know what I mean? Because she's doing such a good job and I just can't even picture her as a traitor or as a faithful at this point.
Yeah, I would love for her to eat the other two up.
Absolutely. I know that, like, I'm a Big Brother lover. I love Survivor. Yeah. I love both of them as players. But
just serve them on a dish.
I need them. You know what I mean? I need them to get humbled. I do. They say, so there's three, there's a bunch of groups now. So there's a housewife clique. Apparently there's like a gamer clique. They think, and Janelle also knows who all the faithfuls are, like the ones for sure. That's another clique. And Kevin is a dumb faithful. She's just like, he's so dumb. So Larsa, though, at this point is thinking that they're murdering her close circle, but that's just Marcus at this point, right? Like who, I guess she was thinking it was MJ, like, who else is from her close circle?
I don't know. I guess
Bananas.
Did she say she was close with Bananas for some reason? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so. But I'm just.
I remember her just saying like they're gonna kill or they're taking my close circle. But other than her boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't check out. So then, do you know what? Because at this point, MJ, I don't think had walked in yet. And they're thinking that it had to be MJ that's going to be murdered because she's outspoken. She has been saying, Dan, like, you know, MJ would be the person to murder if they could. So then Ekansu walks in and all of the traitors like, what? Like, they're so shocked. And then MJ walks in. And so they're thinking it's John. They're like, John? Like, everyone was super confused, which was great. But and then Janelle's like, are the traitors stupid? Like, I found it actually pretty funny. But I thought that the reactions were really, really obvious that they were expecting.
Yeah. I was like, where are these reactions from? Because they definitely took shots of them looking like, that's not supposed to happen. Like, their faces were very, like, not like, oh, it was very, that's not in the script. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, I was just like, are these actual reactions from them within that very moment? Because if they are.
Do you think that they took some like B-roll and just be like, okay, can we react again? Okay. And action. Like that kind of
maybe, maybe, but also it could literally have just been from, you know, like Alan talking about something and then them being like, oh, you know what I mean? And just cut it together. But yeah, because if that was their actual reaction, they're going to get caught soon because they can't hide it.
Yes. Okay. Danica says, I'd like to see CT, Phaedra, and Janelle as traitors. Well, I do need to see a recruitment. Mm-hmm. I would love to see like traitors. Like, he's like, I've been recruited. Like, you know, with his like his whole raspy voice that's going on.
Yeah. We're four episodes in. You know, we definitely want to see them get a traitor next time because we need a recruitment by episode six. You know,
so who out of the three do you think will be gone?
I think I agree with you. I think Phaedra would win in that. And I feel like Dan was planting seeds this episode saying that, you know, if he needs to, I mean, he also kind of said it about Phaedra as well, but you know, if he needs to let go of Parvati, he would. However, more people are suspecting Larsa went, she was a faithful. They're talking about, I'm skipping to them, but they're talking about how, you know, it could be a guy, that kind of thing. And really could only be between Dan or CT. So Dan could be,
They need to get a guy right now just to satisfy Larsa's, you know, suspicion, because it does make sense. It's not CT, like, and then that would be good for CT to get to be recruited at that point because he kind of would be exonerated, kind of. And so that would be a good recruitment. You know what, Danica, you're right. So Bananas had Marcus on his podcast. Maybe Larkus was close to him through Marcus. No, actually, I remember that there was a time where Bananas was not on the Housewives of Miami, but he was hanging out with Alexi. What's her name? Alexia. And so I saw them, they were driving around in her like convertible. And like, that's one of the housewives of Miami, one of the people that Larsa works with. So maybe he was around with them. I don't remember seeing him in any of the filming, but he might have met the whole crew if he's hanging out with one of them. So that's actually maybe how he knows them. Maybe he met them once or her once. That's what I'm thinking now. So nobody got murdered. But then Alan comes in and he asks, if you poison us, do we die? Do we not die? And we see Ekansu starting to choke because she hears the word poison, which was interesting. And it's also interesting when, like, we know that she was the one that was going to be murdered, but just how everybody thinks that she's just overacting and she's acting so badly and like.
Yeah. See, that's one of the things Janelle was saying. She's like, yeah, just Atkins doing too much. It's like, yeah. I'm like, Janelle, that's not it.
Well, hopefully though, now that Atkinsu has been murdered, Janelle could be like, okay, I really don't know what's going on.
And then also just on the Janelle train too, is when she was talking about Larsa standing up and, you know, giving the cheers thing, and Janelle kind of put herself out there for that too. It's like, yeah, those were the kind of few moments that Janelle, I'm like, I agree with you. Like, hopefully now she's like, I think something else, because she was going after two people and she was proven wrong, like in this episode alone. So,
yeah, I think she'd be like, okay, so if there's any circumstantial evidence that points towards someone, it's probably the person suggesting the evidence.
And Janelle, maybe. you were in the kitchen. You were in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. So Alan asked them to dress funeral appropriately to pay their respects. And so they start talking, was anybody giving a drink? And Tamara says she would poison Kevin because she finds him to be super annoying. I guess he chews with his mouth open and
she just can't stand him.
Yeah.
We saw it.
It's kind of annoying. And he also doesn't really offer anything really. No strategy, no entertainment. Yeah, he's kind of annoying. Danica says, I don't think Phaedra cares which one of them goes home, but I do think she was partial to CT on the first episode. Well, she thinks he's very good looking. She thinks he's hot. Hot, hot, hot.
Oh, and she was quite excited when CT walked through those doors this episode, so...
Rachel also says, I don't know who the next traitor is. Traitor out to be will be. I think the heat may turn on Parvati since she was the one that was calling out the housewives. Maybe.
If the heat stays on Dan might be like, was Dan in the room with Parvati? No. Oh yeah, he was. He was in the room. It was Dan and Parvati in that room when she got poisoned, Atkinsu. So he can't really call her out on that. Yeah, I don't know. I do see that it could be Parvati though.
But then also though, maybe the D that she'd written last episode might be like, well, I kind of felt like it was Dan at one point. And then you know what, Phaedra also, I think she did a P this time for Parvati. So we'll see how it goes. But I do think one of them will be out of the game. Larsa thinks this traitor is an alpha, so she's still kind of on that train. I wish that she kept on just on the male train and not the alpha train, because I think that CT to me is so obviously not a traitor that I think that she lost some of her credibility. And then I wish that she kind of stayed focused on like, hey, Dan, he's quiet. MJ was like, Dan, he's quiet. He's not offering anything. He's quiet. Like, what happened to that train? He's also a man, you know what I mean?
And that happens so much in traitors. It's like you have a round and it's like, here we go. And it could be you. And then it's forgotten in the next round entirely almost. So
like they don't bring the evidence from past forward.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird thing that happens in all of the traitors, you know, iterations of it. But it's I don't understand it either.
So Trishelle, Dan and Janelle are in the kitchen. And they're saying that Atkinsu is the Black Widow spider, which I think is also very interesting because that is who Parvati is. And Parvati is known as one of the Black Widows, part of the Black Widow beret. That's what I was for Halloween, actually, for one of the days in California. And so Janelle also thinks it's Atkinsu because she sucks. She thinks Atkinsu sucks and she thinks Atkinsu is a traitor and a bad actress. CT now is also thinking Atkinsu. And I'm like, CT, it's not Atkinsu. Stop thinking this way. But it's like, it must be like a weird group mentality. Like everybody's saying this, like it must be this, like you can't go out on a limb. Like it's a very weird dynamic that I don't really understand because I've never played this game before.
Yeah.
Because even when I played Mafia a couple times, like I wasn't great at it because when I played in person, like I found that I was able to without having that many conversations, get people to vote the way that I thought that they should vote. Like when I was town, like when I was like a good guy. And so I thought that it would work when I was playing with a group of people, but then it just looked like I was an outlier all the time. And I was just voting against the majority, but I'm like, no, but you're not supposed to vote like that. You're supposed to be like, anyways. So
I would say with traders, like you should play one because it, not a trader, I'm just the game traders, but because I think it's, I've played the werewolf, the mafia, the, you know, all of the those, and it's very different. It's its own little world. And it's really, the dynamics of it is very different. And for me, when I was playing it, we had to go after just bad faithfuls because, I mean, they were coming for me and I was very much in control of the round table. And so I just had to get people out who were coming for me. So that's the thing. If you have outspoken people who are coming for the wrong people, but people who like Larsa, who are controlling a lot of people, or, you know, you can put it in a better way, but just influential over a lot of people, then you're just going to continue this cycle of getting the wrong people. So the only solution to that is getting out bad faithfuls, and identifying those if you can't figure out who the traitors are. So it's a weird dynamic once you're in it. Yeah.
So Dan doesn't want to be the first to go after Phaedra, but Phaedra has to go. I'm like, Dan, I get it. Like you want to play, you prefer playing with Parvati. You're from the same network. You understand this type of social strategy game. You feel like you could talk to her competitively, but like Phaedra, I wouldn't be going up against Phaedra. Like I think that I would lose. So
They're underestimating Phaedra. They're seeing her as someone who they can just cut when they need to. Mm-hmm. And they're wrong.
Dead wrong. Janelle, Peter, and Tamara are going to be safe because they got the shield, so they're going to be already on in the carriage. And everybody is dressed. They look so good. Like the funeral chic was chic with the black horses and all the veils and like just very opulent.
Oh,
black
right.
Attire.
And who mentioned it that they were saying that this is how they wanted their funeral to be? Or I was like, me too. Like the creepy, it was one of the
Tamara.
It was Tamara. Yeah. They're like creepy, like over the top. I'm like, absolute. Me too.
Yeah. I wanted to be, or was it MJ?
No, it was Tamara. Okay. Yeah.
So basically they're going to be walking together with the procession and stopping at different places. They have to narrow down who has been murdered or who has not been murdered basically. And so, they're all going to be giving Emmy award-winning performances, but hopefully none better than Alan. He's not going to be the Emmy a winning performer. I really like Alan. He's funny to me, and it's probably because he's Aquarius. I love an Aquarius. So people say it's what did you say? It's on the nose to have a funeral. What? Oh, okay. I already talked about that. Never mind. Is it $20,000 if they put one rose on the correct person? Like what was?
I thought it was the majority. It's like if they pick the right person majority wise, then you get the 20,000, which is a great way to incorporate the challenge with what's happening. But also, where were the shields?
The shields? Well, there was no shields on this actual.
Yeah. There was no shields for next. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, we're not doing shields this round.
Yeah, I did notice that after the fact. I was like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, they didn't collect any shields at this one. How could they have incorporated shields? Could you think of anything?
Oh, gosh. I mean, because you would have to have, like, it's been competitive so far. I can think of a way if you have to go into the armory. It could have been everyone who voted for the right person gets to pick a box, but you know, because it wasn't like a cutthroat challenge like it was, or they have been, I mean, I don't know. It would have been way more complicated, which is probably why they didn't have the shields. They were just like, we'll do without for this one.
So the first question was, anybody that was born the same year as another player was going to be exempt and they were going to be taken out of the procession.
And this is where I learned that Dan and I are the same age.
You are the same age as Dan. He looks way older than you.
Thank you.
To be honest.
Thank you.
He looks older than me, right? I feel like he does.
Yeah. Well, that's what was shocking. I was like, he's like, I'm 83. And I'm like, you're 83? I'm like, wow. Okay.
So it was Kevin. Kevin's also 83. I feel like Kevin looks younger than Dan.
I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Sandra thinks that Larsa looks 20 years older than she does. How did you feel about that? They look the same age.
Yeah, it's so hard when people get work done. It's so hard to, Sandra does look young, but it's so hard to be like, are you 35 and just got work done like well before your time? And I'm not trashing work. Getting work done, like Botox is a good preventative to getting those deep set and deep rooted wrinkles and whatnot. So don't get me wrong, but it's just like, sometimes you're like, are you 35 or are you 55 with that amount of work done? I'm not saying Larsa specifically. I'm just saying people in general.
Well, I think what ends up happening is when, no matter what age what you are and you start getting that kind of work done, you immediately jump to 55. Like I had a friend, she was 32, and she started just doing a little bit of the filler and a little bit of the cheek thing, and I'm like, oh my god, she looks really good for 55.
I've seen so many I work with actors, so I've seen so many actors get it done too early and get too much done too early, and it ages them. So it puts them in this weird grouping. And also, if you're an actor out there listening to this, because it's, it's a slippery slope. And at the same time, it's talked about a lot behind the scenes, and producers don't want to hire people who have too much stuff done because it just doesn't fit a lot of things. Doesn't fit like certain, if you do something that's happening in the 1800s or just even in general, they just don't want to put it out. They don't hire a lot of that. So be careful. It does put them in a weird, it ages them. It puts them in a weird grouping. And so, I mean, we love Sandra for saying it though.
Oops. The second question, there's a big photo of bananas and there was a choir singing. Now, when did they film this? Because didn't this also happen on House of Villains with the choir, or it was a gospel choir with Tanisha? And I'm like, who copied whom here?
Right. Well, that was Tanisha's doing. She made a couple phone calls and
but do you think that was filmed first? I guess so.
I have no idea. But I didn't hear. So I could hear, but I didn't hear at the same time what they were saying. So I had no idea what the clue was. Do you remember it?
Basically, which people in the house trust the most?
Okay. Yeah. I thought I heard trust, something about trust, and they picked the two challenge people. So I was like, is that what it was said? But yeah.
But Cece was like, he deserves to die if we're not the right answer.
And he's like, that's the only thing he's ever done for me.
Yeah. So they did get it right. It was Trishelle and CT who he trusted the most. I mean, he's going to have to trust those two the most in this game anyways. And then they're going to read from the condolence book John did. And it was who was wearing red when they were doing the scarecrow challenge from last episode.
Didn't love that because I'm like, that's not a challenge. You just need to know what color you were wearing. So whereas the other two were
kind of to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, the birthday one wasn't great either, but at the same time, someone might not want to say something
like MJ.
Yeah. But the shirt one was very definitive almost. I don't know. They weren't it was hard to get them wrong.
Well, and also as an audience person, I want to at least play along a little bit. And I'm like, I don't remember or care who was wearing the red, blue or yellow plaid shirt. Don't care. So yeah, I would have liked something that was a little bit more of something that I could participate in a little
bit too. They probably had to do ones that it could apply to anyone to get the right three at the end. And then other ones that were a little bit more open to narrow it down, because if the person was just murdered yesterday, you had to organize getting them, not getting them selected. You know what I mean? So it's, I guess they could have come up with anyone who's wearing whatever color shirt that they weren't wearing. So, but anyway, they would have had to craft some of that challenge the morning of. So,
yeah, I guess they're just were like, girl, let's, like, they probably had those questions kind of in the bank and they just tweaked them to,
yeah,
who was, I don't know, they just
some options.
Them.
Yeah.
Actually, no, but they would know everybody because nobody got murdered. So, like, they actually had overnight.
They had, well, they had the night before. I mean, crews go home, but it's like, you know, they you know, have to have some time off. But they're, yeah, they would have been, they had the night before and they would have had the morning, but they probably just tweaked it in the morning.
I love what Nikki here is calling out Nelson, saying someone could have not known their birth year, like Nelson on the challenge.
Remember, remember that? Oh my goodness.
So Ekansu is like, thanks for poisoning me, guys. And everybody thinking that she is actually the traitor. But the final three are Parvati, MJ, and Ekansu. I mean, I do think it's smart on the producers to have MJ be in there. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's suspenseful,
yeah,
seeing what the traitors are going to do. Are they going to try to get money for themselves, or, you know, are they going to try to keep their cover? So I think that it was smart that they had a traitor, a murderer, and, you know, just a faithful that's going to be blamed as the murderer. So I thought it was a good final three, and enforcing Parvati to work even more.
I'm almost guaranteeing that the 20,000 was not being added.
Maybe they wanted that, right? Maybe they're like, oh, you know what? I don't want them to win any money.
Yeah, yeah.
Ekansu can feel the poison, she says. But everybody thinks it's MJ. So there's three coffins, and this actually is my worst nightmare. They asked them to enter these coffins. Now, I've told you the story about my grandmother that was almost buried alive. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that, like, that energy is in my body. Like, I the idea of being buried alive takes me all the way back to Days of Our Lives when Marlena Kate? Was in what?
Didn't like Vivian bury Kate, or Kate bury Vivian on Days of Our Lives?
I thought, wait, no, alive? No, Marlena buried Kate, was it? Or was Kate buried?
No, it was Vivian Marlena wouldn't do that. It was Vivian and, listen, I know my Days of Our Lives. It was Vivian and Kate had a thing about someone burying someone alive, and it's more likely alive. Vivian would bury Kate, but anyway.
Oh, in the Days of Our Lives,
Marlena was possessed.
Carly is buried alive. Kate goes closer to Jack on their business trip. 93. Who did Vivian bury? It was Carly. Okay.
Oh, Vivian buried Carly.
In one of the most stunning plot lines ever to be featured on a daytime soap, Carly awoke in her coffin, which was complete with enough essentials after she had been buried alive.
By Vivian.
Eventually, Vivian overcame her own lapsed reality from the herbs that and had Lawrence release her. I don't even remember her. I just remember the whole plot.
It's before my time, but I do remember.
Oh, her. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just don't remember her name being Carly. What's her real name, though? Her real name, I think I remember more. Yeah. Okay. I totally remember now.
Anyway,
I love that show back then.
I can tell you all about it now. I watch it every day. RIP Doug, who just passed away the other day.
Like Doug with Cricket?
Doug, like Bill Hayes is like 98, married to Julie. Doug and Julie, he just passed away. He was still on the show. Just, I mean, he has episodes still to air. But.
Yes, the Days of Our Lives reference.
Always.
Yeah. There's no way I'm getting into a coffin while breathing. But like,
the coffin full burials on other traitors episodes where they literally have to dig them out. So
I know. I mean, I would do it if I was on the show, but like, I would not like it at all.
Yeah.
So all the faithfuls and traitors are to throw a black rose into the coffin who they think was the murderer, the traitor. And so I think that it was $2,000 per rose that was correct, up to, and $20,000 if they got them all correct, I think is how it went down. Yep, it was, she's beautiful, you get tortured. That was MJ actually that said that. But it was a landslide vote, and it was for MJ to be buried. They think she's the traitor, but she's not. So the player that was murdered was Ekansu, and like he just slams the coffin. It's so cold. I was like, ooh. Now, do you think that she was actually in the coffin when they put it in the ground and they started throwing dirt on it?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Dust to mistrust, she says. I'm like, she can't be in that coffin. If she's in that coffin, like, she better have gotten, like, $50,000 extra or something. Now, this whole murder being Ekansu, not MJ, was causing a lot of confusion, which is great. Great for the traitors because it's like, why would they do that? That's so dumb. And so it's actually good for them to be dumb and not be logical and not be able to dictate what kind of move they're going to do. So I think it actually ended up working in their favor that they did someone that was so not a traitor.
Yeah, but a lot of the thinking this episode...
Okay. I feel like they said at one point, though, $2,000 per rose, but well,
mathematically, that doesn't make sense because there's more than 10 of them, right?
Okay.
Well, there's three buried. If there's only 13, there's more than 13 players left in the game at this point, right?
Maybe only five have gone at this point. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. So Double Binkies here saying that it was 20,000 if they put the most roses on the poison player. Sorry.
That's what I thought too. But what was I going to say? The train of thought of a lot of them with who the traitors would murder is weird to me. Like, it's like they would murder people. I think Dan talked about it a little bit and he was the only one who was like, correct. Like you'd want to keep people in the game who have some suspicion about them because they would be banished, and you'd want to murder the people. Cause a lot of people are like, you wouldn't want to murder them. They're not, I'm like, yeah, they would want to murder people who are so clearly a faithful. Like I'm like, Bergie should be murdered. Like anyone
who Bergie out of here, Kevin out of here.
Like is anyone you think's a faithful who
100% faithful out.
Out. Bye. Like that's who they should be murdering. I don't mind that. Like this was, and then they were talking about this and they weren't coming to the conclusion that this was they know it was live. They know it was had to be done a certain way. So clearly it was a murder out of
was easiest to
opportunity.
Murder.
And it was an opportunistic murder rather than a necessarily strategic murder.
Yeah.
So they weren't thinking that way though. They weren't.
That's
like,
what I was thinking too when I was watching this. Like, why aren't they coming to the conclusion that like it wasn't a targeted murder? Like it was like, or just like even floating it by, like maybe this is the only person that they could murder,
right?
Like, without being detected. So maybe we need to take it away from it being so targeted, and maybe just it was more random. So yeah, I did have that thought as well.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it's crazy that they're thinking that. They're like, why would they murder? And again, another Janelle thing. Why would they murder them? And like, I'm like, it makes sense because they didn't have a choice. Like, and you should know that because they
would be clearly an option that you're thinking of.
Yeah. So.
Seeing Dan strategize with CT, but when he's strategizing, it's like, he's the dumbest person on the planet. Like being like, I don't get it. Like, why would they do that? Like, why would they murder? Like, it just makes no sense. Like, and I'm just like, Dan playing a dumb traitor is just, he's just bad at it, in my opinion.
And he's still being a bit too quiet, even though they've warned him about that, you know? It's like, don't change it up entirely, but I still think he's being too quiet.
So Larsa again thinks it's a strong man. Sandra wants to keep him good with the housewives because they seem to have a lot of power. We hear that Bergie is not going to be speaking up at the round table because he's terrified of like probably people jumping down his throat and saying the wrong thing. But now Parvati is throwing Larsa as an option into the mix. And then Janelle is jumping on that bandwagon thinking that, yeah, when she said to Marcus as being a clue that would have been an option to maybe be sending the murder chalice to Ekansu. So again, Larsa thinks it's a man, and they go to the wall. I love that they went to the board, and I'm like, ooh, they're narrowing it down. And you think it's either CT or Dan, like, and they're going to go all in on CT? Like, why not Dan? You already thought that it could have been Dan before. It's very strange that they didn't stay on the Dan train.
Well, they also didn't feel very skipping ahead to the round table. They kind of went all over the place with their votes, too, I felt like. Like, it wasn't a strong front, I felt like. So that, to me, was was weird.
Well, so Sandra tells Dan that they're onto him and CT, and so she wants to keep all the competitive reality people together to a certain extent. Find it interesting though that she's not thinking that maybe one of them could be a traitor, but maybe she's wants to be in with them so that they don't murder them if they are.
Right.
When they get to the round table, Parvati is just going all in for Larsa. And then she mentions that one of the four housewives, one of them must be a traitor. And I was like, I mean, it's true, but shots fired against Phaedra at this point. It's very risky, Parvati.
Parvati is playing very risky. She's outspoken. She's coming up with these theories before anyone else does. Like, you know, instead of being like, sometimes being like, oh, I don't know who. Who do you think it is, Parvati? She's like, Larsa? Like, you know what I mean? It was just very, she's very forward. And I'm not saying that can't win you the game. I'm saying it's a very dangerous way and it's easily caught. And if people just put the pieces together, you know, who's putting the wrong names forward first. I mean, you know, if Parvati keeps doing it, it's easy to be caught that way, I think. So maybe they'll never catch on, or, you know, maybe they will. But I just want to, I'm ready for Dan and Parvati and Phaedra to kind of like the traitors to break up a little bit and them go for each other. So hopefully we get that soon.
I feel like it might be next episode. It'll be because, you know, with that heat that's going on, and if Phaedra detects some, any sort of treachery, she will just turn on them, I think. So Janelle is saying that maybe it's something that someone ate or something that someone drank. And then she brings up the cheers, thinking that it was weird that Larsa cheers to her boyfriend and thought that could be maybe a good cover. And so she thinks the cheers is weird. And Larsa thinks that she's weird for thinking that the cheers is weird. But then Larsa decides to point her finger at CT, being that he's the alpha, he's the head of the snake. And I'm like, no, don't go all in on CT, because A, I don't want CT to go, and especially knowing that they're wrong. Did you want Larsa to go? How are you feeling at this point?
Well, here's my thing. I was fine with Larsa going, but I think it's so ridiculous. I never would have voted for Larsa as a faithful, because they even brought it up at the roundtable and she brought it up. She's like, you think I'd murder my boyfriend? She wouldn't. If you thought Larsa was an original traitor, you know she would have recruited her boyfriend, and you know her boyfriend was a faithful. So you all know that they had that opportunity to recruit already, because you know that there was a recruitment they told them. Unless she was recruited, exactly. But it's like if she was recruited and then murdered her boyfriend, also doesn't make sense, because she would have waited until like another recruitment. Or she's too, I think, I don't want to say egotistical, but I just mean like, she's not the type to be like, this is a great game move, let's murder my boyfriend now.
Yeah, she's not cutthroat in that way, game-wise.
No, and it's too early. Like, maybe later on, you can convince me she might, closer to the end, but she would not do that now. She wants to be in that house with her boyfriend. They were very lovey-dovey. And so if she was the recruit, if she wasn't the recruit in one of the originals, she wouldn't do it, and she would have recruited him. And if she was the recruit, I still don't think she would have done it. So voting Larsa doesn't make zero sense for me. And I would have said as much when she was like, do you think I would have recruited my boyfriend? I'd have been like, I don't. You wouldn't have. Or not recruited. You think I would have murdered my boyfriend? I'd have been like, I'm not voting for you, Larsa, because I think that's such a waste.
Agreed.
What did she say about Larsa and the... I didn't read it.
Larsa would never have murdered Marcus because they're attached at the hip.
Yeah, it's so obvious. And so for people to forget that, even though she brought it up at the round table, or just overlook that, is just people playing bad, faithful games to me, because this was in their face stuff. You don't need prior knowledge. I don't know Larsa before this. You don't need prior knowledge. You just need to see what's happening around you.
Yeah,
she's bad move. Your boyfriend. Yeah, bad, bad, bad.
So Kevin thinks that MJ is highly annoying, which is very funny, because the entire episode, Tamra is talking about how annoying Kevin is. Parvati suggests the housewives. I was like, man, it's like Parvati is really, really coming for the wrong people. Because even in the round table, Phaedra's like, don't do that, Parvati. And like she was clapping back. She was angry.
Yeah, that was and I don't even know, like, there was no, is she faking it just to play it up? I was like, no, that was a very subliminal kind of like, don't do this, like on the, like, we're traitors together, like, don't do this level. Like it felt that. So.
And Phaedra was pissed by this bad behavior. Absolutely. So in the banishment, Dan does Larsa, Tamra does Kevin, CT does Larsa, Sheree does John. Now, Sheree is another person, like, she's not really doing that much. I know she's working with other housewives and she's supporting them, but like, if she wanted to try to save Larsa, why wouldn't she have voted for Kevin or somebody that maybe would be getting some votes? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't understand it. That's crazy to me. And that's what I meant by, like, they weren't a united front either. Like, where are we? Why are we doing John here? You know?
Knock Knock is here saying that on this season of The Housewives of Miami, Larsa threw Marcus a welcome back party after being away for 3 days.
Doesn't surprise.
I haven't gotten to that episode yet. I'm only on, like, episode 4 or 5. Fergie votes Larsa, MJ Kevin, Phaedra Kevin, Sandra Larsa, Peter MJ, John Kevin, Janelle Larsa, Larsa CT, Parvati Larsa, Kevin Larsa, Trishelle Larsa. And so she goes up to the circle of truth and she says, this is Larsa, because she had the most votes, that she is a faithful. And Sheree's super pissed again, be like, I knew it. And like, she's like, don't act surprised. Just like, everybody gets to act surprised, Sheree. You're just out of your element. Phaedra was also really pissed though, obviously, after this. And Phaedra talking about like the fact that she doesn't play games. She's a housewife. They're not game players. And so she's kind of starting the war against the gamers, and Sheree wants the gamers. So the gamers might have some trouble because like they're pissing off some of these housewives. CT is with Trishelle and they talk about how they can trust each other for the most part. And surprisingly, since like they haven't had really that much trust in the past, they don't think either of each other are traitors. So hopefully she can trust him to work with him in the game. You got to trust each other. Like, that's all you got, really. Right? Trishelle and CT?
I mean, in traitors, pick a person and hope they're not a traitor, or at most two, that's like your person. I would just probably pick like one person that's my person and then kind of like play everyone else the role that you need to play. But just amongst this whole thing, I was just like, Larsa is so not it. And these people that I like look up to in the gaming world, reality TV, are just horrible at this. And I'm like, why? Why can you be so strategic in other games and can't see it in this? Like, I wonder if it's being clouded by the fact that they like know some of these people and it's all celebrities. It's just so disappointing to, and I do think that traitors in general is very traitor sided in the sense of like, it seems like faithfuls do poorly in every, you know, time I've watched it for a good chunk of it. And you know, there's even a version out there where the traitors just took it right from start to finish. And it was just, I don't know why it's so hard for the faithfuls with, you know, how the game is set up. Maybe because it's like the Terminator, they just keep replenishing the traitors. But these people are supposed to be really great at these games and yet they cannot even find one. They can't find one.
Yeah, I feel like this is the longest any show have gone without finding a traitor.
No. And the one show that I'm talking about, they didn't find any traitors for forever. But it's just like Larsa was so obviously not it. And is it just because she had that control that is that what you were scared of? And that's what you wanted to vote her out, or the supposed control over people, even though they didn't all vote together? Or, you know, you thought like she was on to you and like, you know, Dan's just playing a really good game. I don't understand it. I don't understand the dynamics and what we're not seeing.
Well, it's I think the issue is when people are playing the trader, they forget all the evidence from previous rounds and they just go from round to round evidence. Like the traders are new each round. That's what it seems like. How, yes, the group think also US Miss Brown Sugar is very powerful with the very little information. Yeah. So they forget what they've already, the information that they've already learned. Yeah. It's like that, just like they clean slate, new information, new target, but you still have all the old information. Filter that into your new hypothesis, please.
And they forget to distrust some of those that they just assume are faithfuls, when you always need to be reassessing and questioning. Does it make sense? Like, even if it's your bestie in the game, like, you need to be like, you know, always there. Like, it could be, you know, are they
maybe
leading?
That's why
are
they're thinking, like, maybe it's Larsa would kill her boyfriend. So, you know what I mean? Like, maybe that's them thinking outside of the box.
Yeah, but again, she comes from the grouping of people that don't play these types of games. So they wouldn't have that kind of, like, cutthroat attitude towards them. It's just crazy to me.
Thomas thinks it was personal. Larsa would not have killed Marcus. Yeah, I agree. I don't think she would have done it either. It would be only if she was a game. They were both super gamers. That I would think that would be a possibility.
It's too early. Like, do that later, maybe do near the end, even halfway through it. Maybe convince me, but it would have been, that was way too early. Way too early. I'm like, no way, no way. You couldn't convince me otherwise. And if I was at that table, I would have spoken up. So much so that I probably would have been murdered. But
yeah, like, you're gonna be out. They're gonna think like, oh, like he's going too hard on this one. Like, it's also interesting that they're not taking the evidence of people that are being murdered as to like to steer them in a certain way at all. They're not getting any evidence and using it effectively. They just forget everything. Which analogy did I do? It's so surprising how they drop previous clues and suspicion so quickly. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Like, Nikki said she was on the duel, but they did Inferno and Rivals 2 together. She wasn't on the duel too. I don't remember which ones Trishelle was on, to be honest. So midnight strikes, and they're all going back to their rooms, and the traitors meet, and Phaedra is pissed. That wasn't cool. We see Phaedra threatening Parvati, and Parvati did not look like she could handle Phaedra. And so she probably was like, maybe I did bark up the wrong tree here. Just like, play fair. I'd play fair if Phaedra told me to play fair, 100%.
Yeah, that's your one warning. It felt like a teacher scolding me. I was like, that's my one warning to spit out my gum, and I will never do it again. Yeah, it's like, if you're going to do it, you need to make sure that she's gone, like I said at the beginning of this. So
it's a good question, Sophie. Don't they see that Dan and Parvati hang out a lot? I guess not. Like, they do. And like, they're always like separating it and being apart from each other. Like, one person this way, this way. Yes, I guess that's deflex, but like, why is nobody ever seeing it? No clue. All right, that was pretty much the end of the episode. Anything else you want to talk about with the episode?
No, I got all my notes out there, my surprise, my shock. It's very entertaining, but I'm just ready to, you know, episode 4, now going into episode 5, I'm ready to switch it up a little bit. I want to see traitors going for each other. I want to see Phaedra kind of, you know, take a shot and land. And either Dan or Parvati kind of get what should be coming to them. So hopefully they, because I want to see someone recruited too, so can't wait.
So yeah, I know that she did a few seasons. I can only kind of remember the one that she got into fight with Anissa. I just can't remember right now. They're all just like a blur. What, the challenge All-Star 4 is coming May 11th? I didn't hear that. March 11th. All right. Well, that was pretty much it for the episode. Postmortem is a little bit of like an afterthought about what happened on the episode, hearing from the murdered victims and the banished people. We didn't really learn anything. Anything you want to say about the postmortem?
I think it was just reiterating kind of what we've already knew and were told. And yeah, and they were like, oh, well, you know, Johnny got murdered because of this, you know, yeah, we already figured it out. So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really find anything that was that informative from it. I liked watching it, just seeing it, but like it didn't really have any additional information. Well, that was fun. Anything going on, Jonathan, that you want to share with the people?
No, nothing.
Nothing. I mean, I want to see that scene again for sure. Say it again.
Said I'm just living my best life. You know,
your best life in the cold, cold Canada.
Pager was going off. Both of their faces were like. I think even Poverty tried to say something at one point. It was like, and then just stop. I was like, don't. Just don't.
Just step away from the cauldron.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody here in the chat. Sorry to keep you waiting. Next time, I'll know how long these postmortems are. They just started playing, and we just kept watching. But next time, we'll know in advance that we're just going to watch it. So it was a good time. This episode was super fun. I hope that the traitors start attacking each other, kind of like you, Jonathan. I kind of feel like I need to see Dan lose for whatever reason. I don't know. But I want some new traitor blood in there. I want someone to be recruited. So we'll see what happens. Next week, we'll be back at around the same time. Thanks, everybody in the chat. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel. Like this video and let us know who do you want to be or banished as a traitor and who do you want to see be recruited. I want to hear what you guys think in that regard.
And why is it Janelle?
You want Janelle, not CT?
No, I want Janelle recruited. Yeah. Anyway, bye, everyone.
Take a Janelle recruit. Bye.